Good evening, geeks and gamers, and welcome to the Mythicast, a podcast sponsored by Mythico Studios right here in downtown Suckasunna, New Jersey. I'm your host, Father Time, and with me as always is my good friend and co-host,
Lord Mortis.
The tip of the spear. Lord Mortis. And no evil tonight.
No. He said that... Ooh, what is this? He said he had another birthday party. So, I think he's got like 12 kids, and they have a birthday party every month.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I know you're lying.
No, I'm not lying. I'm not. He said he had a birthday party.
I thought he said vagina pants.
Oh, that's what he did say. He was wearing his super tight vagina pants.
Yes, he was.
Is that insensitive? Is that going to get us in trouble with the vagina pant police?
Probably.
Yeah. All right. Well, if anybody listens to this, they'll fire me at my job. Well, no, they can't, right? Well, they can't.
Well, we volunteer for this.
Yeah, we did.
Well, let them fire us.
All right. Well, listen, what is it? Today's our 25th anniversary.
25th.
I know.
Wow, what is that, silver or something?
No, that's what I was looking for. So I'm looking online, and I look up 25th anniversary. The first thing I get is some kind of porn thing.
Nice.
Yeah, look at this. Leather necklace.
You didn't get me one.
I didn't. I didn't get you a leather necklace. I would imagine what that looks like, sort of floating over your belly. Not great. So let's see. I think it's the silver anniversary. No.
I think it is, too. Silver anniversary.
Wedding is it's a silver jubilee.
Ooh.
Yeah, baby.
Well, there we go.
That's it.
Welcome to our jubilee.
Our 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about? Because it's an important date, 25th anniversary.
Sure. I've got it all planned out.
You
I
do?
Have an extremely well thought out and detailed outline.
I love it. Good. You're leading the way then.
So, how's it going?
There we go.
Right,
first beep of the night. It's
right
perfect. I mean, it's just so everybody knows, that beep is the door opening, and it turns out that we're now double booking the Mythico Studios because there's a stream that's become really popular. So the streamers for H of Ice Balls and Cheesecake. What is it?
Yeah.
What's the name of the
Ice
name?
And Fire.
Song of Fire and Ice. Good Lord, I can never get that name straight in my head. It's just me, by the way. But
it's not just you.
It's not just me.
Mm-mm.
So they have a very successful stream with lots of people watching it all over the world, which blows my mind. And so those guys are in on Thursdays now. So,
but you know what? Stream is breathing right down their neck for
second.
Yeah,
the Lords of Vera one.
Yeah,
yeah. We got a lot of good feedback on that.
Shit.
On that stream.
Oh, we got feedback.
Oh yeah, no,
it was good feedback.
It was good. It was all positive.
What was the line? Why don't you fat old guys participate and stop eating your Chinese food? That's exactly what he said.
He said something about those fat old guys were great if they could only just stop eating Chinese food and give more helpful advice.
God damn it. He's on to us.
He's on to us.
He is on to us.
Fuck. Now we got to do work on these things? Mm. Not good. But, all right, listen. Wow, you do have a... Whoa, snap. Is that
you.
A guy lamp that says number 22? Are you cheating? Are you using
I sometimes do steal
all right,
from
all right,
old
that's
podcasts.
Fine.
But not in this case.
No, okay, good. So go ahead, tell us, what are we doing today?
What's our recent news? We have to, here, let me give you the quick outline ahead of time.
Okay.
And then we can deep dive on each single thing.
Good.
A.
B.
No, A.
A.
Recent news.
Yes.
This is where you and I just kind of shoot the shit
okay.
and talk about stuff, okay?
All right, okay.
Number two.
Mm-hmm.
Black Seas. We're going to talk about the game. There's one we haven't deep, and we both have played.
It's
and
a good
enjoy
game.
It.
It's a good game.
And
lots
then
of fun.
Number three or C in our never-ending quest to deep dive into the Warlords of Erewhon. We're going to talk about that some more.
Good.
And the topic will be pinning.
Pins. Yeah, boy. It's
And there you have my whole outline.
That's
really,
pretty good.
That's really as much as
pins,
I got.
Pins. I think. That's good. So we'll start with what's our first thing? What was it?
Recent news.
Recent news. What are the recent news?
I don't know. We can talk about me going to Key West, baby.
Yeah. We talk about your wife catching all the fish and you catching nothing.
Might have happened.
Yeah.
Might have happened.
That's not a rumor.
Yeah.
I did see a picture of her happily holding a big fish and you're sitting there all mopey in the background.
I was taking the picture. I was not mopey in the background.
I thought that was you in the background. Yeah. That was the captain.
Captain
Luke.
Shout out to Captain Luke.
Nice.
For two great fishing days down on the flats in Key West.
What are the odds that he listens to this podcast?
Zero.
Right. Okay. Well, he's a real man, not like us.
He actually is a captain of a fishing
boat. Us man boys. Why is it that the heat has not been on all day? and then we close the door, and somebody decides to put on the heat and just bake us in here.
I will. We will have to pause. Let's just roll. And deal with it.
Yeah. Nah. Fuck it. Let's just roll. So, so you went fishing. You went fishing. Like, was it like a week?
No. No. We flew down Thursday, fished Friday, Saturday off, fished Sunday, Monday off, back Tuesday.
It was like a couple's weekend, or was it you and your wife?
Yeah, no, I did take my wife, first time I've ever taken her flats fishing.
Oh, cool.
I've often thought about
it. She likes to fish, right?
She loves fishing, and we had a blast doing it.
Cool.
It's not the best season down there right now. Yeah, unfortunately, to get into the best seasons, you have to get into the hotter weather.
Oh, which I love, man. I love Florida in August.
I do too.
It's best time of year.
Was bitching about it, though. He's like, oh, really? My God, wait until July. I hate fishing out here in July. I think May and June are your best.
I guess best people in Florida don't like the heat.
I don't understand.
It's strange. I don't get it.
Why live there?
I know. I don't know.
And it's never hot on the Keys. It's always something wind blowing. But, yeah, we had a great time. Great time. I love going down, and I try and go every year, honestly.
That's good.
So maybe next year, Lord Mortis.
Ooh,
maybe next year.
Podcast from the boat.
Oh,
nice.
That would be awesome.
That'd be so fucking awesome.
Captain Luke involved.
That would be awesome. Wow, we've never done that. Mm-mm. Road trip to Florida? Should we bring Evil Joe? No.
And his vagina pants?
No, vagina pants look awful on a boat. That's not good.
It's true.
What kind of shoes do you wear with vagina pants? We'll have to ask him next.
Slip-ons, I'm thinking.
Pink ruby slippers. Well, Joe, we don't miss you. I wish we could tell you we do miss you, but we don't. We will have you next week, I think, if you get permission to leave the house. I don't know. It's because he has to do one night a week. That's rough. That's rough, man.
Has to do his duty, man.
I know. Listen, he's a good, devoted husband, so that's why he's home. Yes. What was that look? He is a good, devoted husband.
A slow blink.
Oh.
A slow blink's one of the best looks you can give is the slow blink.
All right, so listen, today is going to be all serious adult topics.
Mm-mm. No? So what else is new around here? Since I wasn't here last weekend, I don't know what happened here.
We finally put in, well, not finally, because we have done this a couple of times before, but we put in a bid for the second location.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did. We did. So I'm super excited.
Bergen County, is that where
the initial response? Yeah, the initial response was positive from the property owner. So,
nice.
Yeah, man, I'm hoping second quarter we open the second studio.
Super exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. What else?
Any attorneys this weekend?
There is something going on this weekend.
No, was there anything last?
There was. There was an AOS. While you were fishing, there was an AOS tourney,
oh,
and then
really?
There was a Songs of Fire and Ice tournament as well, same day, 10 people each.
Did you participate in any of
it? I did not. You know what? I usually mark them on my calendar, and this time I totally spaced out, and I didn't. I didn't come. I
wonder if any of the silverbacks were there. Like Ant, was Ant there, or maybe Red? They usually do AOS.
And you know what? It also snowed.
You're right.
Yeah, it snowed. Right. There's like 4 inches of snow on the ground. So even then, I think they got 8 or maybe even the max 10 people. I don't know. It sounds like they had a good attendance. So
good.
I don't even know. Honestly, I'm terrible. I didn't even get the list of who won or
you
who
were really making this a boring segment by not knowing.
Yeah,
the
should
of what
because this is time when we should give shout outs
days.
To people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, a lot of stuff happened in the last 4 days, but I don't know what the hell happened on Saturday because it was snowing. And when it snows, I freak the hell out. I sort of go hide in the corner and just pretend that it's not happening.
I love it. I love to hunker down, maybe start a fire.
Yeah, in Florida on your boat while you're fishing.
Well, no, yeah, I wasn't even thinking about you guys then.
Yeah, no, I know. I know. So I don't know what happened, but well, maybe we'll find out for podcast number 26 if we remember. We should. I mean, come
just,
on, guys, play
it. Here's a hint.
Yeah.
We every didn't win. Podcast, oh. I do this at the beginning of the podcast.
So I should have my shit together, is
I
what
mean,
you're saying?
It's 25 in.
Yeah.
Every podcast I try and do recent news.
Yeah. All right. Well, I do have more news. So,
okay.
All right. Okay, Mr. Garrison. The other news is that we were expanding the hobby section in the studios now.
Oh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So we're bringing in all the Woodland Scenic stuff. Because the other day I realized, you know, we're doing all these cool, like, basing and painting classes that which sell out every time. Mm-hmm. And they're doing all these awesome videos on the Mythico's YouTube channel. And we really need to expand our hobby section.
Like the crafting stuff.
Right? Yeah. Like
not
all
just
the
games, but the actual...
And not even just the paints, because we do have a huge selection of paints. Yeah. But even that, we're expanding because we're bringing all the Army Painter
sweet.
Range.
That's very cool.
And now, that's also good news. Army Painter is going to be an official sponsor of our big GTs and our Triumph GT. So they're officially joining a growing list of sponsors for Mythico's events and Mythico Studios. The other one is Spiky Bits that we're going to be partnering with and doing a bunch of content with. As you know, we're partnering already, and we're doing a bunch of stuff with Warlord Games. There's two other. I have a list of like seven sponsors, and I'll read them out as we go through the show. Yeah, it's really fucking fantastic.
I mean, is it too early for us to start hawking on Triumph? When is that, June?
No, it's up, and the compact is up. Yeah, yeah. And this year we have 50 spots for AOS.
Same place or new place?
No, new place. We're doing it at the Morristown Armory. It's huge and it's awesome.
Lots
of hotels around the area, lots of bars, lots of restaurants within walking distance of all these places. Yeah, it's the largest venue that we will have had the event at, larger than last year.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah,
last year was big and went smooth as silk.
Yep.
I was really
It's amazing,
very
right?
No, I was impressed with that. The guys pulled it off.
The team. It was really Kenny and Zach. And,
Laser Beam was in there.
Laser Beam, definitely. The security, he was terrifying.
Had a security, baby.
My favorite part of Triumph is when I'm judging the painting contest with the other judge, and Laser Beam, who's in charge of security, he lets all of the people that I'm judging like stand by when I'm judging. I'm like, dude, no. See, you got to tell them to go away. He's like, oh yeah, sure. And then he starts like shoving them out of the way.
Okay, everybody, move aside.
You're not allowed here. I told you that. I'm like, no, you didn't tell them that. I don't think. So and then we're bringing in Plastruck, all the styrene, the plastics, the sheets, and the tubing. So that's why we had to move stuff around the studio. There's three whole new ginormous sections of hobby supplies coming in.
I haven't been in the studio yet.
Yeah.
Since I went.
Yeah,
I'm going in there right after this, and we'll see.
Yeah, well, we're playing Warlords of Erewhon.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, Barry's going to be mad at us because we're not playing.
Fuck
our
Barry.
Barry. God. We love you, Barry. We really do. But you don't listen to our podcast, so fuck Barry.
So what? You don't have to pander to Barry. He doesn't listen.
He doesn't listen, so he's not a fan. No, I don't think he knows about this.
Well, I may tell him we were making fun of him.
That he should.
And you know what that'll do? That'll make him listen.
That will make him listen. So yeah, I think that's the news there. The other news, I'll keep adding sponsors. Shadow's Edge Miniatures, another terrain sort of material maker. Mm-hmm. They're joining us. They're also going to be sponsors. Oh, wait, I got to tell you something.
Guys,
hold on a second.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm going to tell you something you're going to love, and then you're going to be jealous. So you've seen that Lord Mortis gear, right? The Lord Mortis gear logo floating around, right? Yes. You have seen it. So guess what? So there's a company interested in making Lord Mortis gaming gear.
Oh, shut the fuck up. No. What about Father Time gaming gear?
That's what I was saying. You're going to be so angry.
I have a logo.
Yes, you do. Actually, we do. And we just went through this whole process of trademarking all of these logos. But you said you had a logo. We do have to design a logo for you.
I have the one. I had my T-shirt.
No, but that logo, is that a logo that you can...
Of course it's stolen. My son... drew on it.
No, we have to be able to trademark it. Have to be able to trademark it. Anyway, that's the cool part. So we're making some awesome gaming gear. This is actually a very, very good company, big time. They're a bicycle. If everything works out, and we're just talking to them now, but it's either with them or another company. If everything works out, we're going to be doing some cool stuff. The other good news is we're officially sponsoring the USA 40K team for the ETCs.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it's our second year sponsoring them, and we're really psyched to be doing that. We're making
are they
huge...
local? Who are the guys?
They're all over the place. I think some of them are in Maryland. Actually, one of the guys is down in New Orleans. They're sort of East Coast, and then one New Orleans player, Adam, who's the captain of the team.
So 40K, not AOS.
40K, yeah. Well, AOS, you know, we're doing our own team events and that kind of stuff, and
I'm dodging them, man.
I know you are, but you got to play, bro. You're like, you know, you're like the
I'm
heart
mascot.
Of the team.
Like a mascot is what I am.
No, the mascot is Anthony.
A foolish mascot. No, well, Anthony actually thinks he can play. Anthony actually comes in with a good attitude.
I know, but, I come in but he loses every game.
Lose every
game. I mean, last year, no, 2 years ago, all he had to do was tie a game. Tie a game, and we come in, you know, second or third. But he lost every single game out of five. That was sort of embarrassing.
I probably lost all five, too.
Yeah. No, you didn't. I think you won a game.
Maybe.
I don't remember that?
I don't. I flush all those tournaments out of my memory.
Well, Angry Ant, you know. It's important because his motto is now he just goes for the wooden spoon. That's his thing. It's all about the wooden spoon, which everybody knows who listens to the podcast, that the wooden spoon is what you get here in Mythicos when you come in last.
Last place.
Yeah. And then you get the wooden spoon hanging on the wall of shame. Which is now full of wooden spoons. It's amazing, actually. Great. It's pretty awesome. I love that wall. We should post that on a regular basis because there are some fairly good players that have somehow managed themselves to get on the wall of shame. What else? Look, I gave you a lot of news and updates.
It's great.
Is there anything else? No, I don't think so.
I think it's good.
Yeah. So, okay, well, what's next on the agenda?
Black Seas.
I always confuse it with Cruel Seas.
I know, because you had mentioned that to me last night, and I was like, Cruel Seas? A, didn't we already talk about that?
And B, we haven't played it.
We haven't played it, yeah. We've been playing Black Seas a lot.
A blast. It's a fun game. It's a fun game. And at first, because of the wind gauge thing, which is just it's the one kind of basic rule that it's not inherently natural to us because we play 28 millimeter, you know, humanoid figures on a table someplace, and now you're playing with ships and the wind comes out of different directions. Once you play it once or twice, it's like, oh, okay, I get it. It's just a different direction.
It's actually a very elegant mechanic, in my opinion. But let's start from the beginning. So this is a warlord game.
Yeah.
And the setting is essentially tall ships. Perhaps you could give a more historical spin on my pathetic description.
I wish I could. But it's definitely Spanish Armada.
1800s.
Yeah. And there's five factions, you know, per se, fleets that you could have. You can have the British, of course, with Lord Nelson, the Admiral. You could have the Spanish. You can have the Americans as a fleet. You can have various European powers. You can even have a pirate.
Well, you can have the French.
You can have the French.
So British, French, Spanish, American. Are we missing? I don't know.
There's an Austrian. You can do a variety of other nations. They're all sailing ships, so big sailing ships, right? Yeah. So think, what was that Russell Crowe movie?
Master and Commander.
Right. Think Master and Commander, okay? Amazing models. Most of them are plastic, or there are some resin and metal models,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, some of the unique ones they did in resin and metals.
Yeah.
So like the USS Constitution, which I happen to have, you know, because they want to get the imprint on the stern, and they did all those in, like, resins and metals. So you have the different sizes, right? So we have the smaller two-masted brigs, then you have the frigates, which are a little bigger, three-mast, and then you get into the third rates, which are real. Actually, you get into the overgunned, which is like the Constitution. It's really just a little bigger than a frigate.
Yep.
Then you get the third rates, which are big, and then you get second and first rates, which I don't think we've even played with.
No. They're like 490 points or something per ship.
They're huge.
Massive. And so basically, the brigs are obviously smaller. Those are all the classes of ship that you can currently play. There are actually gunboats as well, which are smaller than the brigs.
Right.
And it's a scenario-based game, so you have to play scenarios. You do play on a 4x6 table. If you buy the starter box with the that comes with everything, the rule book, the dice, the tokens, whatever it is, you basically have a fleet you can play with for, really, honestly, as long as you want.
You get a lot of ships with
them.
You really do.
They're easy to put together.
Yeah.
Until you get to rigging the lines.
Although I would say, if you were going to start this out, to build your ships, do not put the masts on when you start painting. They're a lot easier to paint. I, of course, did not do this and regret it.
So you put the sails on?
Not the sails, the masts. Oh. You can build the holes,
yeah.
Not put the mass on, and paint everything separately, and it would go a lot faster.
It's a lot easier than you paint the mass separately.
Because now you're dodging the mass. Yeah. Every time I'm painting a cannon on the inside, you're dodging a mass. It's such
an
annoyance.
Not necessary. You're right.
I didn't
think
about it until I put everything, because, you know, I put the army together, prime the army, paint the army.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a very good point. But the rules are fairly simple. It's not a huge rule book. It's, you know, a paperback. What is it, like 30 pages of rules, honestly?
Yeah, it's not that much.
It's not that many.
It actually, if you have played Cruel Seas, it plays very similarly to Cruel Seas.
Yeah, which is another fun game. That's a World War II kind of torpedo boat size game. So it's not, it doesn't include, you know, nothing large like battleships or even destroyers. I mean, I think the gunboats are, again, you know, the PT boats size boats are like the biggest torpedo boats that you can get. But that's a separate game. But it's a similar set of mechanics.
Right.
And it does not have what you would expect from a Warlord game. It doesn't have the command dice, I guess.
Right, the order dice. It doesn't have the pinning. It doesn't have any of those those mechanics.
Yes, totally different mechanics.
Right.
But very, I think the word elegant, is that what you use? Mm-hmm. It's actually apropos for this game. And also because it's an elegant kind of period of history, in as far as what the ships look like.
Well, we all love it. That's what sucked us right in. It could have been doo-doo rules, and we would have been playing it anyway, because we all love those ships.
I know. They look phenomenal.
As soon as we saw them, we were out there buying them and putting them together, and they do look great when they're put together. They are not easy to get fully equipped. It's not hard to build. It's not even hard to paint. Although you can make it easier if you don't put the mask on.
Yeah.
But then you actually have a step of adding rigging, which is thread. Thread in the lines. And then there is the final putting on the sails. When you have all those things together, you have a gorgeous looking model. But it takes effort to do that much.
What's great, too, it's that they're different models from what you're typically putting together.
Yes,
right?
Very
so
true.
It's a nice, fresh type of modeling that you're doing. Even if I didn't play the game, I think I would have picked up a starter, you know, box set just so I can putz around and put them together. And they paint up fairly. They do paint up fairly quickly, just like a normal mini, right? Like a larger ogre size mini, really is what it is. And you don't have to do an enormous amount of blending or anything.
Yeah, you're not really looking to get. You know, it's not like you have a face on this thing, right?
That's right.
It's not like you have something that the eyes are going to naturally gravitate toward. But another thing is the fleets are pretty small. I mean, every game we've played, we have four ships, five ships. That's about it, right?
Yeah, I think the most I've seen is six ships per side. It's, you know, three brigs. You know what it is? It's the fucking streamers came in here, put the heat on.
And then left.
Evil bastards. So I think maybe it's time to lower that heat. Okay, now, so what's happening here with this computer? It's not working. It is working. All right, so what the hell were we talking about? I forget.
Sizing.
Now.
Yeah, the sizing they sure do the have ships. Some sizes. Okay, we're done with that part then.
Are we done with that part?
Well, I think we did. We covered all the sizes.
Well, we had boats. Boats, brigs, frigates.
Yep.
Third rate.
Yeah.
And first rates. So, yeah, we did cover all the sizes.
So, when we've played,
we've
only played with brigs and frigates and maybe a third rate.
I think, don't you have the USS Constitution?
The Constitution is really just an overgunned frigate. As a matter of fact...
Is it? It's not a third rate ship?
As a matter of fact, Nelson, the U.S. didn't use third rate ships during that time.
Right.
Which is why I can't use them when I make my fleets. So
you realize that. Okay.
You know, we're really playing 90% of it with two sizes of ship, frigates and brigs.
Yeah. Well, they do look beautiful. I mean, you just, if you get a chance, you know, if you're listening to the podcast, go online and go to Warlord Games and just check out the ships. Or actually, even if you just go on our Facebook page and take a look at our Facebook historical group page. Yeah, especially Barry's ships. He did a phenomenal job.
He did a really good job.
Those are crazily beautiful ships, and there's a lot of them that he painted. Tells me Barry has no life. He who has no life. Yeah. Or he's very dedicated. No, he's very dedicated. Anyway, so, look, it's the faces of the game are pretty similar to what we are all used to in most games. The only exception is in the beginning you have to sort out where the wind is coming from, because that affects not only how fast you can move, the directions that you can move, but who moves.
Activation. Yeah, it controls your activation. So you're kind of like, I see the direction the wind's sweeping, and I will start at the point of the wind, and I will go across the table in the direction of the wind, and whatever boat I hit first is the one that's going to activate first.
Right.
Which is pretty cool.
It's pretty awesome.
It makes a lot of sense. And then, you know, you're having your, as you're activating your ship, you're deciding what sails you want to have. Are you standing still? Are you at light and battle sails or full sails? And that determines how far and how fast you're moving. And it's limited, which is cool, because you want limited when you're talking about a mechanic behind a sailboat, right? You go straight. You cannot stop on a dime. You go straight. You can turn. You may be able to continue straight. You can turn. You know, it's that kind of a real limited kind of movement, which is so appropriate for someone who's trying to tack around the wind. I love it. I think the that mechanic is really, really good.
Yeah, and you were talking about historical periods. It's somewhere in the mid-1700s through the mid-1800s. And it covers, you know, you're covering the Napoleonic War period, 1803 to 1815.
War of 1812 and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the setting. I think it's one of those games that if you pick up, there's, at least I know here at the studio, there's a few people playing, so you're always going to find someone to play. But it's easy enough because you can play it in between larger games of whatever else you're doing. If you're doing a bolt action game, this game is
a pretty quick game.
Yeah, it's not going to take you 2 hours.
It does have some in-depth rules.
Yeah.
You know, some specialty rules.
Some advanced rules, yeah.
When you define those ships, you know, the brigs, the frigates, and things like that, they have set gun positions, right? You might have two heavy, one light, one cannonade. You know, maybe one off the front, off the bow. And then when you actually get into a shooting position, depending on distance and your angles and things like that, you end up essentially rolling dice for whatever you're shooting. So if I have two heavies, I'm rolling two of these dice. If I have one light, I'm rolling that. Oh, my cannonade's not in range, so I'm rolling those dice.
And it's D10s that you're
all
using
D10s,
mostly.
Very
except
Warlord.
D6s when you take leadership tests.
Yes. Excuse me.
It's that Chinese flu, the new one.
Might be.
It's nasty. Would you catch it in the Keys? From a fish. That's what it is.
Or the roosters. They have tons of roosters.
Yeah, they run free. The that's part of like their gig, right? That's what they. What else? Scenarios. It's a scenario-based game.
Scenario-based game. The terrain is pretty much ocean with
some islands.
Some islands.
Some shipwrecks. Uh-huh. That kind of stuff. There's like 10 scenarios in here. They're all pretty good. We've played a few of them.
Mm-hmm. Kind of fun to try and box your opponent in. It's very fun to look at the vectors and try and figure out, you know, the distances and things to try and maneuver. You get a better shot if you're close, obviously. You get a better shot if you are shooting in the front or shooting them in the ass.
Right.
So, you know, you're trying to do all those things, but it's a moving target.
It's crossing the T.
Crossing the T.
Or if you just open up with all your cannons from the side of one ship, you know, broadside, it can be devastating. Actually, didn't I lose one? I lost a brig. No.
Yes, you brought up. Well, you did that on purpose. You brought the brig out as a screen, and my overgunned frigate
blew it out of the water. One turn.
Yeah.
30 shots. Yeah, it exploded into a bunch of splinters. But it allowed the rest of the fleet to deliver to capture the island, which was the scenario. So we sacrificed a few poor Spaniards.
And there's other things. You know, they have boarding. They have fires, which is interesting.
The fires are devastating.
Yeah, they're not good. And they never were when you were on a wooden boat.
Nope.
So I'm trying to think if there's a cost of entry. That's always one thing we like to talk about. So you get the box set for
$50, I'm going to say.
Maybe 75, somewhere in that range.
Let's see.
That's the actually think it's called Master and Commander.
It is called Master and Commander. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That's gonna get you like
everything you need.
I'm gonna guess four brigs and three frigates. It could be twice that much, though. Quite frankly.
Well, you get two. Don't you get two factions in there?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's $58 bucks. So oh, I mean, great. If you're a member, you're getting a discount. So yeah. it's around $50.
So that's
all
that's
in.
That's nothing to get in. I mean, you're really getting all nothing. The dice. You're getting a mat to play on. You're getting all the tokens. It does have a lot of tokens. The rule book.
You get the rule book. You get 9 ships, 3 frigates, 6 brigs. So you could get
play
two
with
small fleets. Yeah.
You know, and the thing about it is there is no difference between these ships from fleet to fleet. For the most part, a British frigate looks exactly like a Spanish, looks exactly like a U.S. frigate. They're all the same. It's all how you decorate them. Now, you can buy the more elaborate third-rate ships that have special, like I said, sterns, you know, or figureheads or something like that just to make them look cool.
Yeah.
But
you don't need them.
You don't need it for the game.
If you go crazy, absolutely crazy, and you decide, oh, I'm going to get the starter set, but I want to do a British fleet.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy a box of a full British fleet.
Right.
And that's going to give you a bunch. I mean, you're going to get a bunch of ships, right? So you're going to get a first rate, 3 third rates, 3 frigates, 6 additional brigs, 1 gunboat squadron. They're all sort of figureheads, so it kind of modified it to make it look like a ship. Like
right.
a British ship,
so
a Spanish ship.
So they all have some
ship.
Unique identifiers.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's it. So you'll end up with, you know, well over a dozen ships and more than enough models
to play
forever. So what
does the fleet
cost? The fleet's $99. I think if most retail places, you'll get it for $120. You know, here you're going to get it for just about $100.
So really, we're saying easily between $50 and $200. I mean, max. $50 and $200, you can buy all the boats and the biggest fleet you could ever want for this game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you don't want to go down that road, if you buy a $50 starter set, you still have enough ships to play easily.
That's
90% of the games.
Yeah. John just sent us this from LVO, somebody wearing our Mythicos Studios shirt. Isn't that cool?
Nice.
Sweet.
Nice.
I see it. It's funny. It's always cool to see people wearing the gear. All over the place, too, which is freaking awesome.
Is that going on right now?
Yeah.
LVO?
Yeah, yeah, that's happening. I don't know. I honestly couldn't recommend it anymore. I mean, it's a fun, absolutely fun game, and I know that we're loving it. We jumped right into a campaign that's been going on for 4 weeks now.
Yeah.
The campaign rules in the book are pretty good. You really the point system is fairly balanced. Barry put a really good campaign together. Mm-hmm. The rules are very simple, easy to follow. He's really good at sort of tabulating the ongoing process of as the fleets grow. So he's been terrific, and the campaign has been a lot of fun.
So do you have, and this is always a tricky question, do you have any insight into what they're going to do with this in the future? How they're growing it, what they're thinking about?
Not specifically to additional fleets, for example.
Right.
But as always, I'm sure they'll add additional ship types.
Right.
But nothing yet. I mean, it's fairly
fairly new. I mean, when they first, it came out, I'm going to say October. Does that sound about right, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
It came out in October, and they had pretty minimal at the beginning. Like, they didn't have any U.S. stuff. But the interesting thing was you buy the starter box and you have the flags and the banners
everything
for every one
there.
Of those factions.
Yeah.
So I didn't, you know, I was nervous and then I got that and I'm like, oh, well, I have everything I need to make a United States. And now they've since released it. So they released a lot of stuff between.
Yeah, what they've released that's new are like name ships. You know, a French ship, a Spanish ship, an American ship, and a British ship. So I imagine that's what they'll continue to release. Just recently, there's some like resin scenery that they put out there to kind of just sort of beautify the tables. But also they go with the scenarios.
Pretty cool. Like the tower, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The tower
was one
of those things, yeah. It's like a gun emplacement tower.
Yep.
Very Key West-like.
You go back to Key. You should go back to Key West. No, that's it. I mean, I'm loving the game, and actually tonight we're supposed to be playing, but I think tonight we're going to be doing Warlords of Erewhon, and then we'll do a makeup game at some point before the next campaign, like we did last time. That was a fun game last time.
Fun game.
Makeup game, yeah.
Fast.
Super fast. It was good though. It was good. Spanish are doing well, man.
Are they?
Yeah.
I didn't even add up my points from the last.
I think Barry.
Loss.
I gave them to Barry. I gave.
You said 300 points.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. I gave that result to Barry. You don't have a lot of damage on your on your fleet. So, okay. Anything else on Black Seas? You think?
You know, I did have one thing, and I can't remember what it was now.
Oh, I did think of something.
Yeah.
It might. It would be helpful, I think, to. And it's hard to describe, but maybe not too hard to describe. If you do build your ships, or when you do build your ships, you may want to just put them on a base, on a rectangular base. It's just a long, what would you say, 32 by, depending on the size of the ship, so that it sits and you glue it onto the base, and then you can paint it around to look like ocean. But it helps the ships not tip over. If you carry them, obviously, if you put magnets on them, then they're fine. But the base is a really nice way to carry them if you're not going to magnetize them.
Yeah.
Because once you put the rigging on and you put the sails, like you just don't want those things flipping around all over the place. Because not unlike a regular model, the rigging is flexible, right? Because it's string.
Right.
So you don't want to really mess around. And also when you're playing, you don't want to grab it by the sails or the rigs.
That's very true.
So having a square base
gives
or a rectangle
to touch,
base. And then you can just grab it up from there. And it's easier to name them underneath and know what the ship is and the class. I mean, eventually you know what the class is from just looking at it. But it's easier, especially if you play a campaign and you give your ship's names, which every ship should have a name.
Well, you reminded me of my first horror show after I did the rigging. And you know, so I did my. Here was my plan, right? I painted the Constitution. Of course, I start with the biggest ship in my army. I go with the Constitution.
Why not?
I want to
come
do
on.
The best job.
Yeah.
And I get it all painted, sweet. And then I'm thinking, okay, let me put the rigging on, and then I'll lacquer it afterwards, because
it'll seal it.
It'll seal everything,
right.
And the lines will be strong, and this and that. That was. Huge mistake.
Yeah.
Because essentially that weight from the gloss pulled the lines and they all sagged. And I had saggy lines. Story of my life. it was so horrible because I put
so depressing.
I was texting you and Evil Joe pictures of it as I'm building it, and Joe's getting all jealous. He's like, "Oh shit! Now I have to put lines on mine."
I know.
And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm beating you to the punch, Joe." And then the next day, it's like drooping, and there was no way to fix it.
No.
I tried. I was trying to grab and pull with super glue, and I'm like, "Fuck it, cut them off." Did it again. Honestly, it's once you get the hang of it, it's not that hard.
No, but if you were a really good physics student, you would have seen that coming.
Because
you would have like, oh, you're going to put all that liquid on those lines?
Yeah.
It's going to make it heavier.
Yeah, I know. I know, Nelson.
Fucking hate physics. That's what it does to your models. But anyway, you are right. So don't seal it.
Seal it first before you put the rigging on.
And there's a whole bunch of theories as to how to put them on and white glue. We're not even going to go there. You basically have to kind of just.
It's true because you went very super glue with yours, right?
I did. Yeah.
And I did white glue on mine.
Yeah. And
I don't think there's any right or wrong with that. It's all a matter. I know you did it from a patience perspective.
Right. No patience for the white glue.
I know. But the white glue to me.
Yeah.
Got so tacky so quickly.
Yeah.
It didn't make any difference. I mean, you're pulling it taut, little glue, boom.
Yeah, but how? Yeah, the trouble is that it gives after a while. If you don't hold it taut, you know, then it starts giving, and maybe the line gets limpy.
I'm pulling wrap, keep it taut, go to the next wrap, go down, and the wraps keep it tight.
We're making it sound terrifying. It's not that terrifying. Once you get the first one done. You know, when I did a short little video on building Smaug, the dragon from Lord of the Rings, and I have this sort of rating system of like one glass of wine to, depending on how difficult the model is. Three glasses is my maximum, and that's the most difficult. These are not three glasses. Like the first is definitely a glass and a half of wine because you're like, what the fuck is going on here? But then once you get through the first one, the rest of them move along.
Yeah, it goes pretty quick.
Yeah. So, but I've done two ships, so I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Did you really?
Yeah,
did
I did.
Did you rig the second one?
I did the second one, yeah.
Dog.
I know. I'm telling you, because once you paint, they look fantastic.
Yeah, they really do.
I'm telling you, dude, they're because of the sails and the rigs and the ships are great quality, they just look great. And you put them on that base and you do like a little water effect and you paint some, you know, white caps on the ocean.
What was your
ocean.
Second ship?
A brig.
A little one.
Yeah, the little one that I started painting already.
I painted one. I just didn't have time to rig.
Yeah.
Because I was in Key West.
Yeah. Now I had my you were actually seeing real white caps.
I was.
You know. No, I had my studio at home ripped up because they were doing. Robin decided that she wanted to do some work on in my office, and it took like I know. It was like fuck. It's you feel homeless when you can't like sit on your workbench. So finally, over the weekend it was done. So I spent like 48 hours literally just putting it all back together because it was such a mess. And so after that, as a reward, I rigged the ship.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was good. So I think that's it for Black Seas, right?
I think so.
Did we
great
cover
game.
It all?
Yeah. Great.
Definitely,
game.
If you happen to be around the studio, you don't have to buy a fleet. Just let us know you're coming by, and we'll let plenty of fleets running around here. Just you know, you're always welcome to just saddle up to a table and play one of the games with one of our fleets. There's plenty of those around. So
we've had plenty of like on the Thursday historical nights. We've been bringing people in, and they're just like, oh, I don't know about this, and you're like, here, take these three ships, just run with it,
and they're in,
and then they're all in,
like Will,
like Hoot,
Hoot just like, and he's like, oh my god, and Hoot's a real sailor,
yeah,
he serves
it.
In the Navy, and
he
all that.
Loves the ocean,
yeah, he did, and he actually he's doing really well.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
No, so it's good. All right, well, listen, highly recommend it. Don't be intimidated by the ships because honestly, they're easy to put together, they're fun to put together. The rigging is the only thing that you may never have done before. But it's easy to learn, and once you do one or two, you'll be a pro at it. You don't really ever need to do more than 10 ships. I can't even imagine you need to do 10 ships.
I can't.
Maybe
even
six
it.
Is tops.
Mm-hmm. That's a good number.
All right, that's it for that, I think.
So, you know, before we go into the next segment, it just got me thinking about, from a production standpoint.
Yeah.
It's better to go into something, well, like a heavy discussion of Black Seas, and then you give something light in the middle,
okay.
And then go into a heavy Warlords of Erewhon discussion.
So we're
going to
discuss our Chinese food menu choices?
No, we could. What I was actually reminiscing on was the Ask Mythikos.
Oh, I missed that.
Dude, we have to get it back.
Yeah.
Next podcast, we must have
we'll
Ask
have to
Mythikos.
Post and ask. We did. I actually think we saved a few lives. Definitely saved a few marriages.
Sure.
Yeah, I know that. We made a difference to a lot of people.
The gaming life is a tough life.
Yeah, it is. It can be very very difficult.
Very sexually frustrating.
It's super sexually frustrating. It's really difficult to paint models naked.
Yeah.
It's just not a fun thing to do.
But you can do it.
You can do it. I wouldn't recommend it.
Super glowing when you're naked.
Definitely not a good idea if you're using an X-Acto knife or anything like that. It's just bad news. But dude, that is a great... Great idea.
Just came back to me.
Yeah.
I thought
okay.
I'd share that with the audience. Both of them.
Images of you painting your models naked?
Well.
I know. That's actually the Extra Servers podcast. You can buy additional content and additional streaming content of Father Time painting his models in the nude.
Oh, my God.
That's a new service. I bet you'd make millions, dude. Make millions. You're so buff.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Hey, hit the gym, bro.
I know.
Hit the gym.
I know.
Saw my trainer yesterday.
After you're done hitting the gym,
I
you actually
swear
do
to God,
working out?
I thought
you
I
boxing?
Was going to die yesterday. No, I didn't box
didn't
yesterday.
Boxing.
I boxed tomorrow, though.
Oh, nice.
So, but Jesus Christ.
He almost killed
me yesterday. Yeah. And, like, he put me in one of those things, you know, those where you lean back and do your sit-ups kind of a thing? You know, you get in, like, a little... Put your legs through, and then you're leaning way back.
Oh God! Why? What about just regular fucking sit-ups,
bro? I'm old and fat. Why are you putting me in this thing?
Why are you trying to kill me, you bastard?
And not only that, he puts boxing gloves on me. So I do the sit-up, and then he's like, "Okay, one, two." And I'm like,
"Come on!" He's just doing it to make fun of you.
And then he's like, "Okay, right cross." He's like, "Well, put some dick into it." And I'm like, "Oh my God!" And he's like, "Twist your body." And I'm like, "Oh my God!" Oh, it was so
why is he doing that
hard.
To you?
Because
somebody's videotaping it, that's why.
He sees potential. potential.
She's the potential of what?
She's the potential of me becoming swole.
Don't ever use that word. Swole. Who? What the fuck is that, swole?
It's those young kids talking about those being really, pumped.
Pumped.
Swole.
Swole. That was something that you feel when you're.
Oh my God! He finishes it off with the ropes. You ever see those guys do the ropes where they grab the ropes and they go up and down? It's like
you
want to
be Rocky.
I fucking start doing this. He's like, all right, we're going to do this for 30 seconds, then do this position for 30 seconds. By the time it was done, I swear to God, I'm like panting. I'm like, am I pale? Am I like about to have a heart
You're
attack?
Puking.
It was horrible. I came home and I'm seeing blind spots. Blind spots like I'm like going to get a migraine. I'm like, oh, this isn't good. I probably have a brain hemorrhage. It's floating into the...
That scumbag almost killed Father Time.
What do you expect? He doesn't know anything. He's just a young kid putting you through shit.
That's ridiculous.
So I woke up this morning at like 5 in the morning, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, did I really have a brain hemorrhage yesterday? I'm like, is this really what's going to happen?
Did I have a stroke?
I really have to be more careful when I'm with this trainer because he will kill you. He doesn't have a brain.
He doesn't have a brain.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't have a brain that would hemorrhage, so she doesn't understand what's happening to you.
Blood spurting out my eyes. Motherfucker.
You should definitely get that on video because we'd like to see that.
No! Yeah. You will never see me getting swole.
Actually, thank you.
I just love saying it.
Thank you for not sharing that video with us. Listen, that's good. I told you you and I are in a bit of a competition to lose weight. Because we are, after seeing that video, the streaming video from Warlords of Era 1.
Yeah.
Dude, that was, I mean, nobody was mean enough to make fun of us. Maybe Hoot will make fun of us because, you know, he hasn't seen it yet. So I imagine we're going to hear it. But he's a fat ass himself, so he can't, like, go around.
All right. So here's the question.
Yes.
Are we going to wear the outfits on Monday stream again?
I think so, but I think we have to, give more information according to the viewers.
One viewer. Well, it's the only viewer we've had, so I'll have to give it
100% of our viewers had that complaint, so I think we better deliver.
Right. I think we can do it. I have a plan.
Do you? Okay. All right. Listen, I think we should definitely do that, and my mission is by the time we're streaming in June, and May.
We'll be buff and swole.
We'll be swole and buff. Swole and buff. It'll be like, fuck, man, who are those two goddesses?
Look at those old guys.
Yeah.
They're
bro,
so swole.
Those guys must be fucking hooking it up with women left and right. They're so, they have it so put together. It's amazing. Yeah, that's going to be us.
Yeah.
What are we, January still? Yeah. May, I'm telling you. Nobody's going to recognize us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Two handsome beasts.
I haven't lost a fucking pound. I've gone the other way.
I lost 8.
I know.
I'm going to keep bragging.
But, you know, when you work out, you gain muscle.
Fucking I heard that. Fuck. Here's our Chinese food.
Oh, no.
Right on time. We're hungry. You know, we're on a diet, Zach.
Come on in, Zach.
To hell.
We are recording.
Yes, we are recording. Thank you, Zach. Zach, you're so polite. He loves us, Zach.
Doesn't
loves
say
us.
A word.
No, you know, it's amazing. Most polite boy in America. He curses the hell out of us as soon as he leaves, but, you know, whatever. As long as we don't hear it. Should we just make all kinds of rustling noise and get our Chinese food? No, we'll finish out
the podcast anyway.
All right. So now that everyone knows that we're going to be, what's the term? Swole?
Yes.
We're going to be swole and buff and handsome. You're going to grow hair or you're going to go steal with the bold look?
It's funny. Every once in a while, I hear one of those
hairs popping out of your skull.
Ears.
It makes a
they
sound.
They pop out of my ears.
Oh, they do.
Now I hear those commercials for growing hair.
I found a hair coming out of my ear the other day, and you probably heard me scream all the way from Mendham.
Oh my
God! I can't believe that's happening to me.
Ears and nose. It's like
It's in all the wrong places. All the wrong places. Mm. Anyway, I'm sure they're not listening to this podcast for this reason. But if you're young,
I think we can bring this kind of insight into
streaming.
Yeah,
it's coming your way anyway. Just get used to it. Get used to it. All right, so we're not going to have that much time to talk about Warlords of Era 1 again. But I think what we should do is maybe lay out what it is that we're going to be doing.
Well, I think we wanted to continue to deep dive on Warlords of Era 1. We want to get the audience very familiar with it so we can, you know, present some new stuff in the summer. And you know, we have a unique insight into the game.
We do.
We're very close to Warlords.
Yep.
We have our own take on playing it in some ways.
Yes.
Bringing mechanics that are Warlord...
Approved.
Approved.
Yep.
And we want to share all that.
Yep, and we're actually going to have some luminaries from Warlord Games.
Yes.
On one of our upcoming podcasts, and I actually I saw an email today from Simon who is going to line up whoever it is that we need. It'd be awesome if we can get Simon and Rick Priestley to come on.
Get any of them. Yeah, I wouldn't mind getting Bob Naismith on it. Talk about the sculpting.
Oh, that's a good idea. People love it. That's a good idea.
They all sound so cool because they have English accents.
They don't sound like us Americans. You know, it's a little bit weird when you go over there and you're like, God, you don't want to talk that much because our accent, theirs is so great.
Yeah, but do you think they hate our accent or do they go, damn, that's a cool accent?
No, fucking way.
You're so swole,
no,
Chris.
Your
accent's fucking cool,
I think
bro.
They're really polite, but they're like, oh, Jesus, here comes the fucking Americans again with their horrible accents. Yahoo. But whatever, right? So
Hawaiian shirts, baby. All the way.
That's true. We do rule the world, apparently. So it is what it is.
I'm just saying.
Get used to it. It's going to be a long time.
Oh, you bloody Americans.
Ugly Americans. But whatever. We are cool as hell, though.
So are you trying to imply that we're going to skip over Warlords of Erewhon this week and go?
No, I don't think so. We only have 10 minutes left of this podcast.
All right. Well, that's okay. I mean, so that's the intent on what we're thinking about doing, right?
Yep.
I think that was fairly well.
Yeah, I think that talking about Black Seas for as long as we did just shows how much we actually liked the game.
Yes.
So, and the fact that we're going to be doing, I think we mentioned this last time, we're going to have a bunch of events around Warlords of Erewhon. I think it's okay for us to say that we have a bunch of new factions coming out for Warlords of Erewhon that we and our design team here at Mythico Studios is working on super secret factions that we'll start sort of sending out peaks and probably sometime in May. Start teasing in May. 120 new figures, all kinds of cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are going to love it. But so maybe what we'll do is we'll get some folks from Warlord Games to join us on our next or podcast or one or two after that. In the meanwhile, maybe we can the next conversation could be about the rules a little bit more in depth and maybe on a section by section. And then I thought we'd do like one of those old-fashioned, what about the dwarves? What about the knights?
Rundown of the factions.
Yeah, sure. And like really, because I know you play Beastmen.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, in this game, Beastmen are good. Really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Who knew?
I know. They're really, really good. The knights, I can't say that they're good or bad because they've been played by Anthony. So they might be the best army around.
Yes.
And they're just being played by Anthony.
Our other viewer also mentioned always bring a mage. Anthony's like, I will not bring a wizard. Right. The Lady of the Lake does not approve. Yeah. I'm like, okay, lose.
Yeah, exactly. Automatically, you're going to lose. The undead is just going to run all over you and have little undead babies everywhere.
So Joe's doing undead. That's right.
And, Joe, as always, he takes every game he plays very seriously. And that's not a knock on Joe. He doesn't get to listen to any podcasts about Warlords of Erewhon because there aren't any until this one.
Right.
So now he's not going to be able to listen to any podcasts about Warlords of Erewhon because he's going to be one of the hosts.
And he'll get no advantage over us.
That's if another one of his kids doesn't have a birthday party and misses yet another podcast.
This month's birthday, Barney.
I know. It's such such a bad excuse. Bullshit. You got to come up with new excuses, Evil Joe. So that's what we'll do, I think. And then maybe... I did think that at one point, before we release our own range of models, we should probably talk about some of the model companies that are out there that make some of the models that you may need if you're playing specific factions.
Sure.
But obviously a lot of the models...
Ones there that are Warlord approved, so to speak.
Yeah, Warlord makes orcs, and they make undead.
Well, I'm just saying, even in the rule book.
In the rule book, yeah.
Lucid Eye.
Lucid Eye, by the way, look them up. They're great. They have some freaking awesome, awesome models. They're really good friends of ours. We actually carry, I think we're like one of the few stores right now in the U.S. that carries Lucid Eye models. But I'm not just saying that because we carry the models.
They're good.
Fantastic guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Joe, the guy who runs it, the young man who runs it, he's just a super sweet guy, super nice guy, and very talented sculptors. Really good company. So especially if you play D&D, lots of good models there. What else? I think that's it. There's so much gaming, and just now you got me looking at my old Malifaux figures, because I know you guys are playing Malifaux.
Yeah, Mr. T, Brian Timmerman started the campaign. I don't know if he started a campaign, but he did start getting the whole crew playing, and amazingly pulled it off 2 weeks ago, and I played.
Did you play?
Yeah, I did. I'll play this week, too, after maybe some play testing.
Yeah, I don't mind. Especially
if I can get Ashes and Dust in. Kenny.
I'm just going to go with Zoraida. And what do we call them?
The Silurids.
Silurids.
Yeah.
Because I have some of them, even if they don't come in. I have Zoraida, the old metal model, so I'll go with that. That'll be fun. I've never taken Malifaux too seriously. Because it's just, I think the fluff is some of the best fluff out there. I think the game for me, it's on the par with some other games that I really love. So something has to give.
Yeah, I agree. I know what you mean. And it's a hard one to wrap your head around.
Because you could really immerse yourself in the game. It's one of those games that does deserve that you immerse yourself in it because the lore is so damn good.
Yeah.
And the models are so beautiful. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that game. It's just a fucking beautiful, awesome game. But we're also playing Legions, and because we're playing Black Seas and we're playing a ton of Erewhon. So it's just like, and
who was just talking about Saga the other night?
And I was talking about Saga
because of the historical guys.
Yeah, the historical
and
guys.
And it gets you start thinking it's time for our yearly Saga month.
Yeah, and before you know it, you're like, oh shit, Blood Bowl, but we missed the Blood Bowl season, so that's good.
Yeah, we did.
No more. We didn't get distracted with Blood Bowl this year. God, that's amazing. How many games do we play? I mean, think about it. The only thing we don't play is like card games. We don't play Magic or anything.
I play card games.
You fucking play card games too?
You know what? Yeah. My daughter had Kingdom Death out the other day.
Oh, that's... Yeah, but dude, that talk about getting lost in a game.
I just laughed.
Yeah.
I said, okay, tell me when you all start dying and you can't progress anymore. And then I'll make
And that is absolutely what will happen. Because that game is designed to do that.
Yeah.
It's called Kingdom Fucking Death.
Yeah.
Right?
I think they did
release... It's not called Kingdom Fucking Death. It's just called Kingdom Death. Yeah, yeah.
But eventually you call it Kingdom Fucking Death.
When you're dead. No, some of the best models ever.
Yeah.
But super expensive and hard to get a hold of.
And I still get... I'm still on their mailing list. And I get these updates. And the models are just... crazy. You know what? When you're in Gen Con with us this year, they have a nice booth. You get to go wander through and look at all of it, and you're going to be like, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Well, I know. This one, because a lot of it's pent-up, you know?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. This year we're not going to have a booth at Gen Con at Mythico Studios for our new games, because we're going to have a booth at two or three other shows. But Gen Con, we're on the waiting list for the following year. Which is okay, because you actually had a brilliant idea. You said, you know what? Just don't go down there to work. Let's just go down there and just enjoy Gen Con. Let's just play a bunch of games and just be absolute 100% gamers for the duration of the event. And drink and eat and play games and just be stupid.
Perfect.
That sounds fucking awesome to me.
You will love it.
I've not done that in a long time.
That just go on sale in a few days.
I know. But I'm supposed to sign up for games or just get the badge?
No. You get the badge first, then you try and get hotel second, then you get events third.
Hmm.
That is the
what's that quote from? You reminded me of that quote from Scarface when you said, first you get the badge. Right? It's really crass. Look it up. Scarface quote of how what happens when you're successful in life, what you have to get first, second, and third. I'm not going to say it because it really is crass. I do know the quote, but I think we've been crass enough today. What else? I think that's it. Are you going to put the out music? Out music.
I can do that.
All right.
Then we can get right into some Chinese food. Yeah, buddy. All right. We will see you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Streaming on Monday.
Ooh, yeah.
Don't forget to stream on Monday.
Watch out for Father Time and Lord Mortis in full gear.